B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Caught, though. And it was beautifully placed. The hands were extended. It was an over-the-shoulder catch.
Somebody just sent me
before you can walk.
A list of wide receiver salaries and the guys that are below Nelson Agholor.
I don't want to know it.
It's nauseating.
I don't. You're dead. I will throw up on this program.
It is really bad.
610-632-0975. Lenny and Pittman, how you doing, brother?
All right there, Breakfast Club. I have a few observations.
What's up?
Tom Brady was thrown to a guy named Harry. I thought that's a razor blade company. So that ought to show you about how you could have wide receivers. I never even heard of the guy. I thought it was a razor blade company. And I watched Edelman yesterday drop a pass in the end zone, go to the sidelines, take his helmet, bounce it off the ground 30 yards, sit down on the bench, beat the bench apart. You could see he was frustrated, kept talking about it. And Aguilar, don't they make GPS for gloves? Maybe that would help him track the ball, you know.
That sounds like a million dollar idea.
We keep hearing about this track. Just catch the ball. I mean, really, you know, there's a time and a place where you got to look at reality. And reality is, don't tell me about wide. We do that with every quarterback from McNabb. He didn't have a running back. He didn't have wide receivers. We don't have this. You know what it is? You play with what you have. And I think, by the way, last time I checked, isn't Carson Wentz the highest paid quarterback in the league?
No, not anymore. But at the time he signed his deal, I think he's number two now or number three since he's, nonetheless, he's still $107.9 million.
Okay, and he's playing like the third best quarterback in the league, right?
No.
No, okay, we will agree. There you go. Look at that. We started out on a good morning this week.
Lenny, after Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz is the reason they lost this game.
We're not going to blame Dobie Gillis now, are we? Yeah, can I ask you a question?
By all means, Lenny, please.
Is he searching for like some lost gold in the Atlantic in that chart? Well, he is buried in that chart. I don't get what it is. You're the guy that wrote it. So why are you staring at it? Like, I mean, you should know what's in that. I mean, you're the guy that wrote it. So why are you like just buried in that chart? I just don't get it.
Lenny, Dobie Gillis. Who was Dobie Gillis, the guy that played Gilligan on Gilligan's Island?
He might have been.
Who's Dobie Gillis? You guys remember
that? They look alike, don't they?
I don't know Dobie Gillis. I'm sorry. I don't. Thanks for the call.
I think it was an old TV show.
Dobie Gillis. Dobie?
I think what was the name of the guy that played Gilligan? I think it was him as like a hippie guy, if I'm correct on my TV shows, because you guys know how good I am at watching TV.
Dobie Gillis. I don't know.
Can't even get anything.
The guy who could play Gilligan is coming up, but I don't know if that's the guy.
Right. Back to Carson Wentz for a second.
Yes, please.
Did you see the stat on him yesterday that since 2016, only one quarterback in the entire NFL has more fumbles lost than Carson Wentz, and that's Jameis Winston. It's really concerning.
Those Sixers are going to the finals.
It's really concerning, his fumbleitis.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. The people that are the Carson Wentz apologists will hang on to this one particular play that happened yesterday. And it's pretty much the last play that mattered for the Eagles. And it was a heave by Carson Wentz, dodging would-be sackers left and right in the backfield. He heaved a ball to the back of the end zone where Nelson Agholor was. And we all know what happened. He didn't come down with the football. He got both hands on it, Trey. Mm-hmm. Both hands were on the football.
Yeah.
Then he made contact with the ground, and the ball bounced out. Nelson Agholor, again, having trouble tracking it.
He had 30 yards to track that ball. It was released when he was at the 15-yard line.
Cool.
30 yards.
And it still seemed like it was...
It was a beautiful ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he was asked before that on that drive, Carson was, but that was a ball somebody needs to go make a play for him because the Patriots sent the house. They went zero coverage, and they said, beat us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Tell me at the end of this if you think Nelson Agholor needs a hug. Here's Nelson Agholor and what happened on that play.
Yeah, I did. In fact, if anything, I kind of hit the ground, and that's when I kind of lost it.
The ball did travel weird, but at the end of the day, it's the NFL. You got to find a way to track it down. And I thought I followed it on the way down. I kind of hit the ground pretty hard and moved it.
He was asked if he thought he tracked it well, and he said, yeah, I did. Ball traveled weird, but he had a play on it. He said he had to make the play. Bottom line is he had to make the play, and he's right. He had to make the play. He did not make the play.
Going for the knee injury?
That's pretty weak. He went down like he blew something.
Yeah.
His knee was completely shot.
He blew all right.
His confidence blew.
And he grabbed his knee, and I'm like, oh, man, he might be really hurt. And then he like gets up and walks off.
Because he was like, oh, it doesn't hurt.
He had a case of the Sidney Joneses.
I really wish I could blame injury on this.
I really wish this would hurt.
I tried so hard. I tried to come up with it, but I couldn't come up with it. But no, leading up to that moment was that possession in itself was the worst possession with Carson Wentz I had seen him play maybe since his rookie year in the first game without Lane Johnson when Lane Johnson was suspended in 2016. I don't know too many times Carson has looked worse than that. And you saw balls at guys' feet, balls over guys' heads. Like, it was, I'm going, man, is he rattled?
Yes.
Is he trying to rush it? Is he shell-shocked?
Yes.
All that looked like it yesterday. All of that went into how he played in that final possession yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, he was sacked 5 times. I believe he was hit 12. You know, so that has a lot to do with how comfortable he's going to feel in the pocket. He felt rattled. I mean, there were one time he was sacked back-to-back. You had back-to-back sacks. I mean, you know,
the pressure was there.
The pressure was there. I mean, you had a sack, and then you had a sack that came in at 2.9, and then you had a fumble snap, a bad snap from Kelsey, which ended up being another sack. So, I don't know, man. And this is coming off of the sack fumble.
I can't get over, like, a guy like Tom Brady yesterday. I was amazed because a flag was not thrown on this.
Oh, the tabletop?
Destroy, like, Derek Barnett suplexed Tom Brady.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
he got lucky.
If he wasn't going to get a flag for just hitting Tom Brady on a play, I thought for sure he was going to get a flag for a suplexing him to the ground. Neither were called. And I'm like, oh, wow, maybe the football gods are looking down, smiling upon us today. And Brady got rid of the football, spiking the ball to avoid the sack. Meanwhile, I'm watching Carson dance all over the place, not getting rid of the football.
Yeah. What
the hell's that?
And Barnett, you know, it's becoming a theme about, like, the little stupid plays. He's had it a few times this year, like, a little too much. Like, he can't turn off the motor at the right time. That was almost another one. And to me, you look at coaching, like, all right, like, why can't you curtail this guy? The fact that Boston Scott fields the punts that drove Jamie so crazy. And then on the last punt of the game, he lets it go. So the clock just runs and runs and runs. Like, the coaching to me at times is quizzical in that their IQ just doesn't seem to be there.
I can't give the numbers enough. Just when it comes to, first of all, yes, the Boston Scott stuff was abysmal. Watching him field the football at the 5 or 10 yard line.
He's going out onto the field and it's, you know, last minute of the game. Hey, you got to catch the ball, all right? Just catch the ball and down. Even if, you know, whatever you want to do, catch the ball and down it, because we can't have the ball rolling and taking 7-8 seconds off the clock.
You're watching yesterday in the first half, and I can't give these numbers enough. They had a near 60-40 run to pass ratio. 60% of the time they passed the ball, near 40% of the time they ran the ball. That's pretty decent balance. I'll take that in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, though, in the rest of that game, the second half, they ran the ball 25% of the time. Called run plays. I'm not talking about Carson scrambling.
Right.
Called run plays 25% of the time in a 7-point game at its worst. There's no excuse for that. Especially when you were watching short passes, you were watching runs work so well for you in the first half to keep that balance. 16-play drive. Over 9 minutes and 33 seconds?
Yeah,
that was working for you rather well. You ran the ball 7 times with that. Excuse me. 7 times with 1 Carson Wentz scramble. 6 times for called run plays. Unbelievable. Let's get to Michael in Charlottesville, Virginia. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Michael.
Man. First of all, I want to say you guys hit everything on the head. Blame on Peterson. Blame on Wentz. I think you guys are being a little too hard on that defense. This is a defense maybe 3-4 weeks ago couldn't stop anybody. Every quarterback we faced had over 300 yards. So I wanted to give a shout out to Grugé Hill. I thought he played
a great game all over the field yesterday.
I saw him all over the field. even Mills had a couple of great plays. Darby on that one trick play had a great
recovery. You know,
play on the ball.
Little home run throwback.
Yeah, so for a defense that hasn't looked good at all, we're starting to get healthy on that side. We look pretty good, so I want to tip my hat off to the defense. But like you guys said, the offense, no adjustments from Peterson. You saw the Patriots were bringing blitzes all second half. Roll Carson out, some rollout plays, some screens like earlier in the game, some draw plays. I understand you don't have Lane Johnson. I understand Peters went out a little bit early, but do something that's going to give Wentz easy passes, easy plays down the field. I really don't understand it. A bunch of times you saw Belichick go the easy plays for Brady. Slant, crossing routes, screens. Peterson just didn't make the adjustment. I don't understand why when he gets in the game, his mind just gets trapped within the moment. And he can't think outside the bigger picture of, oh, you know what? Maybe we could try an outside zone play. Or you know what? Maybe we could try the balls on the left hash. Maybe we could try a sprint out pass to the sideline to give Wentz an easy throw or at least a half field read. It's like he gets so bottled up. And this is the time where you miss Frank Wright. Because you guys said earlier in the broadcast, this is a team, injuries and all, that could have won the game.
They should have won that game yesterday.
On the field.
They should have won. Michael, thanks for the call. Oh, sorry. I appreciate the call. But no, I even said it. A lot of credit to the defense. And you wish they would have come up with the interceptions, and I get that. But they played anybody outside the AFC. Excuse me, anybody outside the AFC East, this is the best any team has played Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They held him to the worst completion percentage of the season, second worst passer rating of the season, and the second fewest yards. The only team that has outplayed how the Eagles defense played yesterday was the Buffalo Bills, with, by the way, a defensive-minded head coach in Sean McDermott.
Right.
So the Eagles defense did their job yesterday. Now, unfortunately, so did the Patriots by keeping the Eagles to what they average, which is 10 points per game. And that's exactly what the Eagles did yesterday. You had opportunities to exploit some weaknesses throughout this game, but you chose to abandon it. And Miles Sanders did miss a good portion of the game. Was he getting his head looked at? His knee looked?
Yeah, Tim McManus was on with us in the postgame show. He said he went in for a head check, whatever that is, but he did return for a play or two after that.
Yeah, he did. He came back
in. It was a minimal role. I think he only had four touches in the second half in total, but I think it was only one after the medical tent.
Wasn't Miles Sanders the guy that they, earlier in the season threw passes to and he ran, a lot of yards? Remember, it was, this could be
2 weeks
ago. New deep threat.
Yeah.
Where the hell has that been? They haven't even tried it.
2 weeks ago.
I think they tried one wheel route, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't go. But it's like, he's your only explosive player right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get him the ball. You attempted four passes to him yesterday. He caught a 2 for 9 yards. I don't know. I think a guy that explosive, I'm going to look to get the ball when all else fails.
Jamie, real quick, just give me Tom McGinnis one more time, please. I need Tom McGinnis after that conversation. Just a little
Sixers with a...
Yeah.
Hold on. We got an issue as I think there might be a bird on the floor. Yeah. How about that? There's a bird. It's coming right at me.
Thank you. All right, coming up.
It's coming right at me.
Coming up, we'll let you hear from Carson Wentz after last night's loss, what this offense did to do better. Time of the Fanatic 712.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Tough loss. Everyone's trying to drink in from yesterday, trying to make sure that this team can bounce back against the Seahawks at now 1 o'clock. This weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Ah.
And you know what? I forget who made the point last week, but it's like, this team's not even good enough for prime time anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is depressing. Not ready for prime time players. No, we have.
I thought they were going to go 1-1 over this 2-game stretch, and I thought yesterday was the one win.
NFL's not all that weird. I was really hoping the NFL would be weird. It's not that weird.
I don't think it's going to be weird next Sunday either.
Your analytics did not work.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff in the league yesterday, just not in the Eagles game.
Yeah, I can't help it. Every time I see a young quarterback do well, I think of Howie Roseman's quote from when they traded up to get Carson Wentz. And it was like, we looked in our crystal ball and we didn't see any quarterbacks coming out.
Pepperoni, pizza, or sausage, you know?
Now, you remember that quote? We looked into the future and we didn't see any.
And he was right.
except Mahomes.
Well, yeah, Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were pretty damn good.
Deshaun Watson was pretty good. And I know that Lamar Jackson is far removed from that draft class, whatever.
He may have surpassed Russell Wilson yesterday for league MVP.
He's my MVP right now,
Wow.
He's insane. He's an insane human being. He's doing making plays with his arm, making plays with his feet. Everything's just
And Mitch
amazing.
Trubisky got benched.
Did you see Dan Orlovsky tweet yesterday? Like, now's
the time.
Now you do this. By the way, Dan had himself a weekend. We got to get Dan on. It's been a while since we have Dan on the show.
It has been a while.
He was in the middle of the Clemson students before Clemson ran out on the field on Saturday. And I was like, nobody in life is having a better time right now than Dan Orlovsky. Like, the man is just partying.
That seems cool.
Yeah, he was having himself a good old time.
Did you guys see the girl get hit at the Georgia Auburn game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was awful.
That was sickening. Gary Danielson caught quite the fury on social media because he was kind of like, he didn't handle it right.
No, he just kind of ran away.
He kept giggling and was kind of like, oh, well, the players are okay, but she isn't. The girl was knocked unconscious for, they said, 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then after that, he kind of ran away from the... like the subject of it?
Yeah.
Dodging it a little bit here?
It was weird, but thankfully she's okay. Concussion and some bruises, she said, but that was frightening.
Yeah, it was bad. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, let's hear from Carson Wentz after last night's loss. Let's get to Keith in West Oak Lane. What's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, that was Bob Denver. Yeah, that was Dobie Gillis, and it was also Gilligan. Bob Denver.
Yeah, but
Bob
he wasn't. Denver. I found a friend told me he wasn't Dobie Gillis. He was Dobie Gillis' best friend.
Maynard.
He played Maynard G. Krebs.
Right, my bad.
Keith, good job, buddy.
Hey, listen, that just shows how old I am, 58.
Yeah, I mean.
And that also shows me that I'm sick and tired of one thing. This team, the offense, has a built-in soft landing every time they go on the field. The built-in soft landing is we don't have wide receivers. We don't have playmakers. We got the third highest paid quarterback in the league. If we deem him a game manager and let them run the ball, then it would be better. But no, we want him to be the stud. And he can't, A, because he doesn't have weapons, B, because he doesn't do studly things all the time, guys. And we need to start saying it.
You're right. He does not do studly things all the time.
He holds the ball too long. He throws the ball above and at people's feet. Yes, the guys drop balls. We need to do some type of survey. How many balls are uncatchable as opposed to catchable, and they drop them?
Mm.
And then let's talk about it.
Well, I mean, here's what you need to know. Obviously, when it comes to the Eagles and their receiving core, they drop, I think, the second most passes in the NFL right now.
Yeah, behind the Giants.
Yeah, I think the Giants are first. We were watching for that yesterday, just like everybody else was. Who do you blame? Is it the wide receivers not coming up with big plays, or is it Carson holding on to the ball too long? Is it Carson being inaccurate? Yesterday was the worst we have seen, I believe, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz together as one cohesive unit, duo. It was the worst you had seen both those guys perform in a given game. That, I think, far and away. The only other game that I think back to is the game that Lane Johnson first missed of his 10-game suspension during Carson's rookie season. That's the only other game that I can look back to and say, wow, both these guys look terrible. The Atlanta Falcons game this year in week two, for the people bringing up the injury factor and not having playmakers on the field, like Deshaun Jackson, for instance, the one game that I look at and go, you know what, if there's ever a game you could blame injuries, it's when you lose three targets for your quarterback as the game is starting or even right before the game with Alshon Jeffrey, Dallas Goedert, and then also losing Deshaun Jackson in that game. That's a game you look at and go, okay, that's where you might say, all right, injuries really got you because of the timing. There was no time to bounce back. But even there, you were right in at the end of the game. So you mean to tell me if you would have had one of those targets, you wouldn't have won that game? I think you absolutely would have. But this game, forget about it. You went into this game with a good game plan, and you totally got away from it as a play caller like Doug Peterson did. And then as the game went on and it became more crucial and crunch time thickened, basically, Carson Wentz came up small. Time and time again, he came up small until that last play that he put the ball in the hands of Nelson Aguilar, and you could have had a tie football game right there, then and there. But before that, leading up to it, maybe you don't need that big a heave at the end of the game on fourth down to try to get that game tied to go into overtime.
Yeah. He did make some throws, though. I mean, some really, really good throws. And that can't be overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
But I still go back to I think they have a blanket over him. I don't think you're getting all you can get out of Carson Wentz in that. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson yesterday. He's not nearly as big as Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
He's running, and granted, he's a running quarterback and all, and to compare the two is ridiculous. But he's getting hit. Hit after hit after hit. He's a football player, and he gets up and he goes to the next play. Mm-hmm. I think Carson Wentz could put defenses so much more on their heels if there is a threat of him doing more than being a pocket quarterback.
I was surprised we didn't see plays where he was at least running. He called run plays, read options, whatever they might be, just to try to catch the Patriots off guard.
There was two or three RPOs where he did hand the ball off. And you know how after he hands it off, he'll fake like he's going to run the other way. And when he did the fake and ran the other way, there was nobody there. I thought, okay, well, that's going to be open once in a while. They never try it. And, Trey, I know you don't want him out bootlegging and all that stuff, but I'm just thinking, like, why not? Like, there's got to be something different that he can. He's such a good athlete. Let's get that all out there.
Yeah, you can throw some of those sprint rights into it, because that's what you saw New England do every now and then when they just needed like a quick 5 or 6 yard play. They rolled Brady out to the right.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing with Wentz. You just call a quick little sprint right. But now that means that your right tackle, he's going to have to block man.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to get out there to kind of hold the whoever the front DN is out there. And then your guys kind of gate back on the opposite side. So I don't know. Do you change it and then you go sprint left? But 9 times out of 10, it's always sprint right. And that's what Brady was doing a lot of times yesterday. Whenever he needed a quick little 5 or 6 yards, all right, let me just roll out real quick, get a quick little sprint right, bam, right down the field. You can do the same thing. I think also, too, Carson, there were a couple times where he wanted to take off running up the middle of the field, but then it was, you know, he got a little mushed into the center's back or Kelsey's back, and then he did the little jump throw to, I'm not sure which tight end
that was. Goddard, yeah.
Yeah, so he did. That was another big hit, but there were times where it looked like, I don't know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of plays. Oh, I'm sorry, Trey.
No,
there was a couple of plays yesterday, on third down in particular, that you did not see the team that we're used to seeing.
Because they have been very good at third down this year.
They have been a top five, top 10 or top five team
top
in the NFL.
Yeah,
in the NFL going into yesterday. Converting almost 50%, like 48% of their plays they would convert on third down. Yesterday they converted 32%.
Mm.
Like, that's one of the worst all season long. That's how bad that is. Carson Wentz was asked yesterday, as promised. Here's Carson Wentz after the game, talking about those third down conversions and how much they struggled in those particular instances yesterday.
Something that we definitely pride ourselves on is third downs, and we didn't do it well today, plain and simple. You know, they outplayed us on that down. You know, I got fooled a couple times. I got to be better. Like I said, it starts with me, but that's something that we got to take a hard look at and get fixed.
Going into yesterday, they were the fifth best team in the NFL. Excuse me, actually, yesterday, I think they're actually fourth best in the NFL. You know who is the best converting third down?
New England?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no.
Yep. They're at 52% third down conversions. I wonder how many of those are third and shorts, and Ezekiel Elliott up the middle, and they're going to go first down. But nonetheless, they went into yesterday, one of the best teams in the NFL converting third downs. You did not see any of that throughout the game yesterday. I think actually, you know what? I think the Patriots, actually just looking at yesterday's numbers, the Patriots were 31% on third down efficiency. The Eagles, were 23% on third downs yesterday. The other thing that Carson Wentz got into, he was asked about it, was how he does need to get rid of the football. And there were multiple instances where you saw him dancing behind the line of scrimmage a lot. We always say that for a running back. A lot of times you see it with a quarterback, and yesterday you saw it with Carson Wentz, not getting rid of the football. You see Tom Brady spiking the ball at the line of scrimmage where just somebody's close to it to avoid the sack. You didn't see any of that from Carson Wentz yesterday. And to his credit, he acknowledged it postgame. Here's Carson Wentz on not getting rid of that football and holding on to that football too long.
I got to get rid of the ball. You know, they had some good coverages and stuff, but I got to get rid of the ball and be better with that.
I'm glad he at least acknowledged it.
I think it's his hero gene.
I can make this play. I don't have to give up on this play.
Yeah, like I really don't. I think sometimes he's like allergic to the easy play.
Where's the gene that made him the guy where he never got a B on a test? Where's that gene?
Yeah.
Because that's what we were sold when he was coming out of North Dakota State. Never got to be on a test. This guy's a brilliant football mind. I don't see that in his decision making.
No. And look, you know, he's going to make those miraculous plays sometimes, so you live with it. But, man, it seems like he really needs to simplify things at times.
He doesn't, you know, I think for him to get rid of the ball, he has to be a better anticipation quarterback. You have to let the ball go. You have to trust your receiving corps, first of all. I don't think he trusts them.
And no, he doesn't.
Yeah, because you can sit there and say, okay, hey, man, just get rid of the ball. But somebody, these guys are NFL open. Give him the ball.
Right.
You have to. He waits until the guys are really open. Then he'll let it go. Like one of the pass plays that Brady threw to Edelman, I believe. And there was a defender right there on him. Still put it right there for him. Edelman went out there and made the catch. You got to trust the guys that are out there for you to be able to throw the ball. And I think he waits and holds on to it because he doesn't trust that group.
Well, you know what's funny? The one play where he did do that, mm-hmm. he threw, was the last play of the game. And if Aguilar makes the play, you know, like he threw the ball anticipating he was going to get somewhere and be open, anticipatory throw. He threw it. It was open. Aguilar didn't make the play, but you make a great point, Trey.
There was another play in this game that we're used to see Carson Wentz make, and he had the play, I believe it was in the first quarter, so it was before things really started to hit the fan. No, they actually scored. That was the touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert. He was dancing around behind the line of scrimmage. I think they ended up negating it because there was a penalty. But it was a simple throw where you just get rid of the ball over the middle of the field. I think it was Mac Hollins, actually, who was coming across the middle on this particular play. And he was right there to at least throw the ball in the direction of to avoid a sack. And he ended up taking it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mike and KOP, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Oh, just great, Michael.
Hey, the NFL is not as weird as you thought, is it?
Apparently not, Mike. Why do you find joy?
Glee in his voice.
Why are you happy today?
I knew it was going to happen, so I'm not upset about it. It's just, I knew that was going to be the outcome.
Don't you ever root to be wrong?
No, I don't.
Well, that means you put yourself in front of the team. You're not a team guy, Mike. How about that?
I am a team guy.
You're just finding this out, Mark.
I am a team guy, and you know who's not a team guy? Jason Peters, because he keeps putting himself in front of the team by making sure that he's still playing even though he can't anymore. Mm. And you know who else isn't a team guy? Howie Roseman, because he refuses to draft anybody worthwhile to put on the field. So they're not team guys. I'm a team guy. I just call out where we're having problems.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't like that you find joy in this.
So, no, I find joy that you were like, oh, no, the NFL's weird, and that was your explanation. And I was
yeah,
like, no,
that's analysis, Michael.
It's not analysis.
It's an analysis because we had seen the NFL be weird prior in the season.
You know what's analysis? Saying Jason Peters should be cut today because he cost this team like two drives, and his selfishness is hurting this team now.
The penalty on the first possession was pretty bad. That was a pretty bad penalty. Yeah,
this is why loyalty is biting Howie Roseman right in the butt. Like, you can't be loyal in this game. It's nice. It's a super nice thought. It's really cute. I appreciate it. But this is not a league where you can be loyal. You have to get younger. You have to get rid of players who can't play anymore. And the Eagles are refused to do it. And that's biting them right now.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this. The one thing I'll disagree with you with is the loyalty to Brandon Graham, because he's actually played well this season. But Jason Peters has been a big disappointment. No, I understand that, but he still played well.
Away the Jets game, he only has three sacks on the season. The Jets game, I could have a sack against the Jets.
Okay.
Let's be real about that.
All right, what about the rest of the season where he's beat his man almost better than any D-end in football?
Yeah, he's only got three sacks if you take away the rest of the
Jets. Well, I understand that, but he can't make the quarterback hold on to the ball longer.
Look, I just think Brandon Graham got overpaid, and I don't think...
Well, that's fine, he did, but he's still a talented player playing for your team.
He's a good player. I'll give you that. He's a good player.
Well, I don't need to give me anything I already have. But nonetheless, Trey, when you look at Jason Peters this year, should he have come back?
No. I mean, he's a starter.
I asked Trey.
Should we have brought him back?
Right. Yeah.
No,
we should not have.
No.
Okay. There you go. And hey, look, with the way Andre Dillard has played instead of Jason Peters, I have to agree with that. And I do agree with that. You will not find me disagreeing with that.
All right. Well, I'm just annoyed because I want better for this team, and we're not drafting well, and we're bringing back Darren Sproles and Jason Peters, and we think that bringing these guys that have some sort of you know, attachment to our Super Bowl is going to make us a good team. It's not. It's hurt us all year.
Well, then we
on Howie Roseman.
We agree with that. And again, your phone, your actual physical phone, is the star of this phone call. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
To Mike's point, I saw a tweet this weekend that made me kind of shiver.
Yeah.
Contract extension talk has already possibly started with Malcolm Jenkins, Zach Ertz, and somebody else.
Him.
Look, you can bring Malcolm back because he's done great things here. He's a great leader in this team, yada, yada, yada. He's on the decline.
Yeah.
And if you're going to bring him back, you better have a young stud behind him or somebody that's able to step into a role. Because to bring Malcolm Jenkins back on an extension at this point, that's a risky, risky game.
The concern I have is the last time they went from their, I guess, generational safety, like Brian Dawkins, for instance, who did they go to? Was it Quinton Demps and then Macho Harris, who was a corner in college, and they moved him to safety? Like, there just needs to be a plan in place. Because we've seen how fast that can make a defense deteriorate.
Well, that's why I thought Rasul Douglas might see some time at that position this year.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, but we're not. The one play yesterday with Malcolm, when Ben Watson went for 22 yards.
No one was in the middle of the field.
Oh, my God. But he got caught. I mean, I rarely, if ever, seen a defensive player get caught that flat-footed. I mean, he just... It was like, oh, I can't move. I don't want to say it was age. I don't know what it was, but I've never seen that from him before.
He's having a bad year.
And why would you reward that?
I don't know.
You know, it seems to me like you need to go ahead, because now you're going to find yourself in the same situation next year if you start making these moves like that. If you want to redo Ertz, all right, but I,
to me, it reeks of a preseason promise was made to a player. Because they didn't give him any more guaranteed money this year,
right?
To me, and he came in with no problems. That means, to me, I read it as, well, they had a conversation where they said, Malcolm, don't worry about it. You're good. We got you, without seeing his play this year. And now they're stuck.
Didn't Shefty tell us on numerous occasions there was, like, no agreement?
Yeah. But there was a wink-wink agreement.
Well,
Malcolm came in, no problems, no questions asked.
That's a handshake deal then.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's still based off of how you perform, and he just hasn't been performing up to par.
I mean, hell, if Mr. Cush from Jerry Maguire can back out of the handshake deal, then so should Howie Roseman.
Good point.
Cushlash, baby.
Yeah.
I'm still moved by my word is thicker than oak comment.
I mean, maybe Howie said that to Malcolm's agent, but guess what? Make that, what's the weakest tree out there? Yeah, make your word as strong as that, not oak.
Now that's analysis.
Yeah. Make your word as strong as birch. Is that a strong tree? I don't know.
I put an even shorter Tom McGinnis. Just one more time. Can I get the bird in the arena yesterday with the Sixers win over the Cavs? The bird was in the arena.
I think there might be like a bird on the floor. Yeah. How about that? There's a bird. It's coming right at me.
Whatever we're feeling down today, we will play Tom McGinnis. And I'm feeling down. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll take a little closer look at one of the biggest plays that has not been talked about enough, because it should have been a big positive for the Eagles. Ended up going the other way, was a big positive for the Patriots. It was a play that should have been made almost in the backfield yesterday. Time of the Fanatic is 7:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. It's 97.5, the Fanatic.
There was one particular play. By the way, 9:30, Donovan McNabb will join us, but there was one play Nate Gary could have had at the line of scrimmage. And I think it was Burkhead who caught the ball. And he had him. I thought it would be a tackle for a loss. Turns out he got him.
Should have been.
And he ended up taking it almost 30 yards.
Yeah.
40 yards. And the Patriots ended up scoring on that drive thanks to that big play. And I think it was the one capped off with Edelman throwing the ball into the end zone.
It was.
Fun little factoid about that. Yesterday was, I believe, the first time in Tom Brady's career where he did not lead. There was a touchdown pass in the game, and he didn't throw it.
Wow. Wow.
Edelman's touchdown, I think Ruben Frank had this in his 10 observations on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Edelman's touchdown pass marked the first time in Brady's career that another player on his team had more touchdown passes when they played the game.
Wow.
Like, when he played in the game.
Mm. Wow.
And did you see, like, Belichick after the game was joking about it?
Oh, Belichick was at his finest yesterday, talking about the fun that they had.
Yeah, because really he probably himself. Realizes they stole one they shouldn't have.
We lost to these guys. That's what he was thinking during yesterday's game.
He goes, I can't believe we won. I mean, he's probably thinking, I can't believe we won that game as poorly as we played.
I can't believe it. And like the linebackers, for the most part, especially Kamu Grugier-Hill, played great yesterday. Nate Gary, that play, he had him shoulder in stomach, and Burkhead just bounced right off it.
Yeah, that was a little shuffle pass because Brady was in trouble, and he threw a little shuffle pass.
He had to
pass.
Do that a lot last
night.
And
if he doesn't break that... Man, it was a first and 10. They were at their own 40, and they wound up getting 30 yards.
30 yards on the play.
Yeah.
Our defense did a really good job of making Tom Brady feel uncomfortable in that pocket. He did not just sit back there and just light him up. He felt like he had to rush a couple of his throws. He had some balls. He was throwing at ankles as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, just because I think our defensive front did an excellent job of keeping him off balance and throwing some different looks at him just to make him uncomfortable.
He did not look good yesterday.
Carson Wentz needs to steal a little bit of that. When it's not there, just throw it at the feet. Like,
yeah, that's it.
Most great quarterbacks, they know when to call it. They know when to fold them. And Brady did it about four times yesterday where he just threw in the direction of somebody at the feet, and it was a throwaway.
All right, well, let's get to Graf. And then in a second, I want to get into one of the things I think we were sold on Carson Wentz that just is not coming to fruition. Graf, what's on your mind, brother?
So I guess Carson is as human as some people thought, and he looked about as average as he's ever looked in his entire career yesterday.
It was awful.
Yeah, it's just not, I mean, and you know, the thing that really drives me nuts is there are people who, like, take pride in it and are, yeah, see, he's not as good as y'all thought he was, all this other stuff. Why do those people exist? Like, why on earth is that something you should be happy about? Like, this Eagles team has a real legitimate problem right now.
Uh-huh.
And if I had told you, oh, hey, Tom Brady was to throw for 200 yards, no touchdowns, and the Patriots would have no rushing TDs, would you think that the Eagles probably got away with a win in that game?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, and if I told you Tom Brady had 500 yards passing and four touchdowns, do you think the Eagles would have won that game?
Yeah, correct. I do not think the Eagles would not have won that game.
Okay, so there you go, Mike from KOP. Football's weird.
I was just going to say that, Graf. Yeah, no, that's a perfect way to explain it. If you tell me going into the game yesterday that the Eagles are only going to allow 17 points to the Patriots, I think they win that football game. Even though the Patriots, on average, only allow just under 11 points per game.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the other thing that drives me nuts, too, is, like, Bill Belichick did everything he had to do to win that game yesterday. Tom Brady wasn't cutting it, so he literally had Julian Edelman throw a touchdown pass. Hey, Dougie P, what did you do yesterday to make up for your shortcomings?
Jason Kelce lined up as a wide receiver one time.
Yeah, dude, you know what? I unfortunately, at this rate, like, if Doug Peterson doesn't go deep into his coaching pocket and throw away that short change that's Mike Groh, this team is doomed to fail because there is not a single intelligent mind on that entire coaching staff that has the balls to turn around and say, Doug, you're coaching a crummy game. Let's add some spice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing. There's no form of adaptation. Doug P is not the same guy he once was. I don't know. I'm so frustrated with the whole thing. I got a question for you guys, and I'll get out of your hair, and I hope you have a good weekend. Do you think that there's an identity crisis with some of the young stars in Philadelphia?
Yes.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, you talk about Joel Embiid getting bodied by 190-pound point forward. You talk about Carson Wentz not being able to pull himself up and grab himself by the bootstraps and make some form of studly play. You got Ben Simmons who doesn't want to shoot jumpers. You got Rhys Hoskins who can't hit a baseball. Like, do you want me to keep going? How many young stars are we going to have in this entire city
that
don't do what they're supposed to do?
All right, identity crisis. Thanks for the call, brother. Identity crisis, I don't know, but... As far as guys thinking they're better than they are, yeah. Like, Reese is the one guy that I'll say, I think he's just messed up in the head right now with a lot of different, like, a lot of mixed messages. But ultimately, it's on him for not performing. As far as Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons go, identity crisis again, I don't know. I just think you have two guys that do think they are better than they are. And I'm not going to see Ben Simmons get to his full potential until he shoots from the outside. I'm not going to see Joel Embiid reach his full potential until he actually does take his talent more seriously and isn't getting tired at the end of games. That was the thing that really irked me Friday. Two things that irked me about Friday night's loss with the Sixers was that Joel Embiid looked again gassed, and I don't know what the hell Brett Brown was doing in the final 2 minutes, not calling a timeout, and then putting in Furkan Korkmaz and not Matisse Thybulle.
Korkmaz has improved defensively.
He has, but he's not
on the level of a Matisse Thybulle.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so has he improved to the level where Brett has confidence in him? It appears so. Mm. Maybe that's false confidence. I don't know. But you talk about identity crisis. Do they not know who they are, or is it us who put that on there? Like, did we overvalue, or are we overvaluing these young guys?
Well, you know, people put out on social media how hard they're working in the offseason, and the Eagles told us about Carson Wentz. And, oh, how great he's a great anticipation. He's brilliant when it comes to attacking.
Getting rid of the ball quicker.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
And we don't see that. We see a guy that does look shell-shocked. I mean, I remember, I want to say it was 2011.
Mm.
Michael Vick was the quarterback of the Eagles at the time. 2010, he was a near MVP. I think he finished second in the voting to Tom Brady. 2011, the offensive line was in flux. I remember Dennis Kelly played almost every position on the offensive line. It looked really bad. And Michael Vick looked like a quarterback who was shell-shocked. I am seeing some of that in Carson Wentz, but a lot of it is coming down to him just getting rid of the football. That's all he has to do is just get rid of the football. I did the numbers on third down. He was 3 of 7 on third down. 3 for 7 on third down, was sacked twice, and fumbled once. Now, he did throw a touchdown. It was a third down play to Dallas Goedert for the touchdown there. But 3 of 7 on third down for a quarterback that's usually a lot better than that on a third down, and especially third and short situations. But I'll tell you the one that really bothered me was the 3rd and 10 in the third quarter. Jordan Matthews runs a slant route well short of the sticks. Gets a 6-yard gain on 3rd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he going to Jordan Matthews on that route? And it was like there was no surveying the field. There was no progression. It was a drop back, gone. That's a great play on a 1st or 2nd down. But on a 3rd and 10, you go to that play? That shows me it's Carson Wentz's decision-making. And why, again, am I watching him scramble behind the line of scrimmage, not getting rid of the football, when there's guys in front of him to get rid of the football, too? Just try to dump it off or spike the ball, whatever you got to do to not take that sack. And sure enough, he ended up getting sacked and then also fumbling on one possession in the second quarter. Like, where's that brilliant guy that we were told about?
Yeah, well, that sack fumble came in at 2.6 seconds. So, you know, that's pretty standard right there. That's,
okay.
That's your offensive line getting beat there.
Okay.
And then the other sack that came in after that, I don't know if it was third down or not. I don't track it like that. I just go just number of plays.
There was a 3rd and 14 that he got sacked on in the third quarter.
Okay, the 3rd and 14. Where am I?
I'll go back and watch the play.
Oh yeah, 3rd and 14. I didn't have the clock on that, but that was the one play where Vaitai just got ran by.
Yeah.
So the DN just took off around him, and that was that.
Trey, without going back and watching the film yet, what's your gut say the offensive line grade for yesterday was?
Oh, not good. I mean, if you just go ahead and just look at just the numbers, I mean, 5 sacks. You know, 5 sacks, and one of them was a fumbled snap. You know, this. And now one of those sacks was off of Miles Sanders, where they came with a double eight crossed out.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to put it on the offensive line.
You should expect those with Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, 5 sacks, 12.
97.5, The Fanatic.